It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Some reasons to be afeared, and but we knew it was coming, so I don't know how afraid we are. We're just sharing. We're sharing. Well, we got John Brakey in here. We got John Brakey in. He's filed a lot of lawsuits over the years, and they've been making a lot of headway, and it's been getting a lot of attention nationally and internationally. And they produced a movie called Fatally Flawed that detailed everything that's going on here. And they, the people that are running for governor right now, it's going to be the main contenders, Democrat and Republican. We have Jan Brewer as a Republican incumbent. And we had the Attorney General, which was a Democrat. Terry Goddard is running for governor also. Well, they're the guys. I mean, the ones that are right behind all the, of course. So there was a, initially, we went through this over years. We've been doing this. And John, I remember when John called me, John, he's Ernie, did you know that? Go listen to the archives and these categories. That's all you should. Then you can call me back and tell me what you think I don't know. And I go, what are you going to do? Tell me it's really, 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 really bad. You know, so as you went through this, and we went through the 2008 cycle, and we filed suit. And the Libertarians, we had our state chair. Michael Kilski is an attorney also. We went to court. We detailed all the corruption. They go, yeah, so. And they didn't care. They're going, yeah, so we violated the law. Yeah, it's just the way it is. You know, move along. Nothing to see here. So we got a lot of details. We know what's going on. We know who did what. And so this time, because one of their arguments was, well, you filed right after the election, so, you know, we're not going to do it. It just already happened. So what did they do? They filed saying, we know what you're going to do this time. We want you to not do this. Comply with the law. And then what did they do, John?
What they did is exactly what they did last time. It's just go ahead and do what they want to do and deceive us. Go ahead and tell us that 25,000 of the votes were left to come in, but still it turned out to be 97,000. They like to go ahead and get people to concede early. And you know, basically, we were proactive this time, not reactive. We've been through this enough. And fortunately, I'll have to say one thing, Ernie, that I'm grateful. 2004, when I did meet you, you did freak me out a little bit. But I'll say one thing. Your archives were a gold mine. Anybody who wants to study this and get the history, it's very, very important if you're looking to get really involved, is to get the history of things. And nothing's fixed till we know why it broke.
The people involved, where it came from, the companies, all of the propaganda, all, you know, we're conditioned. You think it just happens in government schools? It happens in the government-sponsored licensed television and radio. I mean, you know, it's all part of the same psyop that they're doing on the planet. So I'm going to John, I understand what I'm glad you're doing this, but to think that you're going to fix it, you're just, you haven't experienced it enough, man. So as he's gone through this, tell us about the suit that you guys filed a couple of weeks ago. You know, when was it you guys filed that?
It was August 16th is when we filed.
Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, you filed this, and we know what you're going to do, don't do this.
8 points.
And what happened?
We're supposed to have a jury trial, believe it or not, sometime in September we're filing for.
Well, now you today or yesterday you filed after they've actually had the election.
Yes.
And did they violate all the stuff that you said they were going to anyway?
Every bit. In fact, it just gave us more evidence. We documented everything on film, tape recordings, pictures, and fortunately through Freedom Phoenix, we had two exit polls out there, and I want to thank Freedom Phoenix and the Libertarians for doing what they did there, because we're exposing it.
Well, so now we're in a situation to where you've asked for an emergency request for ruling to what?
They're going to have to do it over again. They violated it very badly, and as they did last time. But this time it's different. It's before the canvass. We think that we may have something resolved this coming Monday. We're waiting to find out.
Well,
this one action right here, because...
Well, tell us. The audience doesn't know what you're talking about, man.
What they wound up doing was... Basically, is that when you do this hand count, the law states that you have to commit the data, the precinct by precinct results. Because if you don't commit that data, then they have all the cards in their hand. They can make the numbers what they want it to be. The hand count is not supposed to happen until the precinct results are publicly released.
Okay, now let's go ahead and talk a little bit about this hand count thing. What happened in 2006, I was running for Secretary of State in charge of the elections. And who I was running against was
Jan Brewer.
Okay, she was Secretary of State. When Janet Napolitano went on to be head of Homeland Security, she moved up to be governor. Now, during that time, during our election, there was in 2004 an enormous amount of election fraud was pretty obvious. So there was a senator, his name is Jack Harper, which you're hammering on. Did he make it through the primary? Do you even know?
No, I haven't looked, but I imagine he probably did.
I don't know, man. They're hammering on him. You know, we'll take a look at
that. I'll get the results outside here.
What happened was we had a senator said, you know, this is really easy to do. We'll just, you know, it was one legislative district. We'll just have all the, because you still vote on paper and it goes through the machine. Well, we'll just take the paper and we'll just count it. And that's what I was screaming since 1994. I'm saying, of course there's election fraud. They made it illegal for you to ever hand count the ballots and compare it with what the computer says. I'm sorry, what?
Karen Johnson.
Now, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, you're terrible at this, man. Just, you know, stay on mic. Now, what happened was that in 2004, we had Jack Harper, a senator, said, I'm going to do a Senate subpoena. We're just going to take the paper, and we'll go here in the caucus room. We'll just count it. We'll just count it right now. Let's do it. Well, when he did that, immediately, the FBI showed up, and they took all the ballots, and you never heard about it again. It just, without claim of jurisdiction, without any, it's just, might as well just handed them the bush. I mean, you know, it's just, they said, thank you, we'll take it from here. And then the county treasurer's office was supposed to hold these. You know, they have a safe or something. They couldn't find them. Oh, they were around here a minute ago. I have no idea where they're in storage over at the airport somewhere. We're kind of, oh. So then it started, because they're going to find, and they started finding there was competing election fraud. There was, like, you know, these guys and the software guys and the, you know, we're adding paper to it guys and we're, you know, switching out guys. And they're, oh, my goodness. It became pretty obvious there was something going on. In 1996, the campaign manager in Arizona for Pat Buchanan was Karen Johnson. Karen Johnson, she's been a politico and well-respected and been around for a long time. And that's kind of one of the things that prompted her to run for a state legislature. Well, she became elected, moved on up. She's a state senator. Well, she decided not to run this last election she said, I'm done. I'm going up Springerville, which is up northeastern part of Arizona, and we're raising chickens. I mean, her and her family, she's from a Mormon community, and she's like, oh, we know what's coming. You know, we did our bit. We highlighted, got a lot of good legislation she introduced and a lot of stuff that we helped with that got passed. Had they known that it was libertarians that were behind a lot of this legislation, so on, oh, heck no. That stuff would never got through. But it did. And one of the things that we were on is in the 2006 election cycle was manual validation of the computer program for elections. That it would be even, I think they were wanting 10% at one time, and it finally got whittled down to 2%. So what they did is it finally, I mean, by the big opposition from Jan Brewer, from the parties, from any and everybody except the people, We were just screaming this. I'm running for second. I'm like, you're still voting? I mean, seriously, if you don't have, why are we even voting? Well, what's happened is in this last election, the turnout was almost nothing. You know, even though we got this big McCain versus J.D. Hayworth race and all the immigration stuff, everything, the vote told everybody just, it's obvious. They just go, we're not playing anymore. People are just, you know, well, that makes John mad. It's like, and he blames it on me. And I'm going, you know, I'm like, come on, man. You know, yeah, I don't have that much influence, you know. But the point is that it got so bad that try and give some credibility back to the system, what they do. It's like almost unanimous. They pass this legislation saying we're going to manually validate. That'll do it. But I knew there was no way they were going to actually do it. So what did I do? Part of the process was there was a decision that had to be done by Secretary of State, and she wasn't going to do it. She was going to try and get it to where it wouldn't apply even the 08 election. So what did I do? Filed a special action in Arizona Supreme Court to force them to do it. Then they didn't do it anyway. That was the lawsuit. Well, we knew what they were going to, and now we have the roadmap, and they still didn't do it. Oh, we're going to find out some more. You stay right there.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Yeah, we got some problems with the server. We just found out the server farm entire power went out for them. And we're going to, they got us on the list, push the button again. So you just get the headlines. It won't go into the site, but they'll be up in just a little bit. And we're finding, yeah, they always try to get us one way or another. You know, they're going to get it. Going to get us. Well, as soon as it comes up, man, boom, we're going to have this information out because it needs to go out. Because here we have John Brakey. He's been, because you came from the Democratic Party, and you were just so adamant about, there was, what was the issue that got you guys so worked up down in Tucson that all of a sudden your number one issue was election fraud?
I caught him on election day. It was in 2004. I'll never forget that day in my life when I realized that I found how the provisionals were being stacked. I was getting out the vote as a Democratic cluster captain, and I had four precincts on the south side and Hispanic, and one was a stack where they stole 113 votes. And what they were able to do and set the stack up is that they claimed that Grijalva was going to bring in people by the busload, and so they brought in seven poll workers who were doing trick and switches.
What the heck does that mean?
That basically means I'm going to trick you to vote a provisional ballot, and then I'm going to get you to sign the poll roster, and then I'm going to take that ballot and then put in my own ballot. And it's a stack. And if there was an audit, there's no such thing as a random audit at that time, and they'd say, audit this, and it would be what they want it to be. It was a blue precinct that they were able to steal 13% of the vote.
So this has been, I mean, from a forensic study, then Jim March got involved. Jim is a computer geek guy that was, at one time he worked for the Second Amendment Foundation. Yes. His big thing was Second Amendment.
Yes.
And I had him on my show before back representing Second Amendment stuff back in 2003. And he got so involved on a national level, he could see that, you know, the candidates, gun control, all this kind of, it didn't matter because they were able to control the ballots anyway. So he started working with black box voting with Bev Harris. And because he had the skills, you know, he's got the computer background. He goes, you know, if I can get access to the actual programming and the actual balloting and the counting and all the hard drives, if I can look at it, I can show you what happened. Well, a lawsuit went on for years in this election in Tucson. and they got access to it enough to where they go, oh, we see what you were doing.
Totally.
And so now that they understand, yes, there is election fraud. Now, this is without question. And then when you got on video and you do a feature-length film showing what happened and the people involved and how it was done, oh, they didn't like that none too much either. So what we did as a Libertarian Party up here in Maricopa County, we had the officers here, they said, you know what? We are entitled as a ballot status party to have election observers. Well, we want Jim and John to do it. Go in there. And they went, no, we don't want this. So we had to go through a lawsuit just for that because they knew you guys knew what to look for. So they're freaking out. One of the things, as they were doing the balloting before and checking, they're doing the early balloting, they have a guy from the election company, which, what is it, Sequoia now here?
It's Sequoia here, but it's still really ES&S equipment. Well, they changed the software because what happened in 2004 when they brought in Professor Doug Jones, they found that one out of 15 votes on a ballot was wrong. And it's supposed to be one in 500,000, by the way.
So they go in, they have the guy sitting there, and they're looking, they're going, what the heck is he doing there with an Ethernet cable going from his laptop into the county computer?
Oh, my God, yes.
They're going, hello, is anybody notice, is this like a problem? And we went through this back in 1994, when I was running for Secretary of State then, and they just created this balloting counting facility for the Maricopa County elections. And I was county chairman at the time, and I had the Democrat and the Republican county chairman. We all signed a letter saying we do not want to have external cables going into. I mean, it was the World Trade Center, as a matter of fact. It was their election counting media, blah, blah, blah. And that was their excuse. So we can have, you know, quick results on the media, blah, blah, blah. And we're going, wait a minute, let me get this straight. So you're plugging in a computer cable into the counting computers while it's counting them? Is that what you're telling us, right?
Yeah.
So we said, no, don't do that. Both the Democrat and the Republican guys were fired for having signed that, for having been part of that. And they come in and I'm going, oh, do we see what's going on here? Just without even knowing what they were doing, just the fact that they had a cable going in that could do it. And now going, gee, I wonder if there's some problems going on here. So as we went further and further, and this has been going on a long time, and we're talking 15 years of it. I'm convinced a long time ago. In fact, in 2002, I knew it's like you're supposed to feel good when you check off a to-do list. You know, I got the wife some milk. You know, she asked me to go get. I picked up the kids from school. I went and voted, and I felt bad for having voted in 2000. I said, you know, I'm not doing this anymore. I know, but I'll run. You know, I'll go out and highlight and make fun of and do whatever. But I'm not supporting something that I know to be bad. So I'm always making fun of John, going, you know it's bad, and you keep doing it. So his answer is what?
My answer is let's vote hard, and let's all work together and go ahead and keep pounding him and pounding him, because persistency is the only thing that's optimum to beat these people, to leave a record, to let people know that there were people who cared. And when things do change drastically, then we'll be able to look back and see what happened and how did we get here. But, you know, apathy or I understand your point totally. Sometimes I feel like saying the same things that you do, Ernie. But we are making a difference. And I think that you can see that. And I hope that someday that from what we're doing, and I think we got a really positive lawsuit. Yeah, we're winning battles right now. Will we win the war? I don't know. I don't think so. But I am raising the price to them.
Oh, yeah. No. I support what you're doing. We help chronicle it. It's just an addition to all the stuff that we've been doing all these years. Just pile it on, bring it on. It all needs to be chronicled. And now with the internet and Freedom's Phoenix and the ability for us to do all the things that we do, that we are in a situation now to where we can, with confidence, be able to tell what's going on. So when, you know, the guillotine lines start forming up, you know, and we know who's supposed to be in the line. I don't want to be pulling the lever. I don't have anything to do with it. I'm going to go over and go camping, man. You guys work that out yourself, you know, whatever. But I tell you, you know, I just want to be very clear that I don't deserve to be in the line. It wasn't me, man. I didn't do it, you know.
Either.
So this is, now we're looking at, they did have a law passed. We were very instrumental in getting that done. That says, okay, we're going to take 2%. We're going to randomly select various precincts, and we're just going to take the paper and we're going to count it. What did the computer say? Well, you know, one of the provisions in the law was is that all the ballots go somewhere and they're under 24/7 webcam surveillance. And then we found out that they just disappear.
They subverted it. They took them to Sheriff Joel Pyle's training center is where they've taken them. And they do that every election 24 hours ahead of time. The poll tapes aren't signed. They have not committed the precinct-by-precinct results publicly like they're supposed to. So basically, when you do some addition on it, Karen Johnson or somebody can say, gee, that ended up really just perfect.
Of course it did.
That's the result, because she controls what the result is supposed to be. Or
not Karen Johnson. You mean.
I'm sorry, Karen Osborne. Pardon me, because right. Karen Johnson, I just think, is a wonderful human being and a great grandmother. And just
she signed on to your lawsuit.
Oh, she's one of our plaintiffs.
You know, so Karen Osborne is head of the Maricopa County elections, and I've been dealing with her for a long time, since early 90s. And,
sociopath.
And these people, they're there for that reason, you know, to make sure this goes. And when you're starting to point out and detailing what's going on, they don't want you to do that. They don't like that. And we've gone battle back and forth. And in the end, we always win the public debate. But then the public has a short minute, whatever, and I don't want to play. And I'll tell you how it's manifest itself. Lower and lower voter turnout. You want to know what the impact is? It's people knowing what's really going on.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're back in the saddle again here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock. I got my friend Robert Anderson in here just to, you know, keep an eye on things. You know, yeah, we've been through this before. We're just sitting here eyeing each other going, yeah. Well, John Brickey, he's got some results for us on, you know, this election. And I hate spending time on this other than just to go still voting. I mean, you know, I don't know what the end result of this is, but I tell you what. You know, this is my bottom line. If you think you're going to be able to vote yourself free, you have not been paying attention. And this is, and all the efforts that John and Jim and all the other, and the Democratic Party down there and the Libertarians are working on this, and all you're doing is just making my point. So now we're at a situation, one of the important races that really has a lot of attention is the former or recently resigned to run for attorney general. His name is Andrew Thomas, and he was county attorney. And man, he's buddies with Joe R. Pyle. I mean, he's, you know, he's a law enforcement kind of. I mean, he's scary. I mean, a scary individual. And if you put him in as attorney general, it's going to get even more scary. And he's running against a Democrat, a guy named Tom Horn.
So he's a Republican. It's a primary. Horn's a Republican.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're in the primary, and his opposition as the Republican. You know, the reason I, you know, that's a Freudian slip, because Tom Horn's really a Democrat.
You know, I'm not going to claim him. I'm a Democrat.
I always thought of him as a Democrat. He's just one of those, you know, kind of, yeah, rhino guys. And we always considered him to be Democrat. Well, he was superintendent of public instruction, and he's been, I've known him from back in the early 90s, and it's just, ew. Well, him coming up and running as a Republican against Andrew Thomas, and they're neck and neck. They're 50-50%, a difference of 300 or 400 votes between them. Well, who's going to win? And based on what?
Well, if I had to predict, I believe it's
horns ahead.
He's horns ahead. But, you know, since those last results, Maricopa is going to count 97,000 more ballots. And they held back 40,000 before the election. They didn't count. 45,000 more came in, dropped off at the precincts, and there was 12,000 provisionals.
Okay.
And they hid that, by the way.
Let's go ahead and analyze it so people understand. This is a whole other aspect of the election a lot of people don't know. Early balloting, when you say, I have a lot of friends that go, oh, we're going to early ballot, you know, and we're going to mail it in because, you know, that's more secure, it's safer that way, don't you think? And I'm like, where'd you get that from? Who told you that? And I go, take it. We had some friends, and they were showing it. We were over visiting, went out to dinner, and they had their ballots all filled out. They had them on the counter there. And I go, I don't want to spoil your evening. I mean, you know, how much you want to talk about that? Oh, tell us what you know. And I'm like, okay, you say that, you know. And so I go, look at the address that's on that early ballot. What does it say? And it says Maricopa County Elections, P.O. Box, blah, blah, blah. And I go, well, I know where the counting computers are, where the place is it's supposed to go. Why doesn't it have that address? Why does it go to a P.O. box? Well, I don't know. I go, how are they going to get those at the post office? Well, I guess they got to go get them. And I go, why don't they just have a government employee? It's a federal offense to not deliver the mail. Okay, so I'm going, okay, so I got this important thing, this ballot that I'm doing by the hundreds of thousands that they're mailing these in. I'm going, all right. Why would they not address it to the elections place? It's during, you know, business hours. I mean, it's not like the postman's going to show up at 2 o'clock in the morning or something. I mean, he'll go up and he goes, I have relieved myself of the responsibility. Boom, here it is. Nice day and peace be upon you. Why don't they do that? No, it's accumulated in a P.O. box and, you know, buckets of whatever, you know, these big mailing bins. And they send a guy in a van to go get them. Where's the security in that?
But it's even getting worse than that now. Let me tell you how they're doing it now. There's a company named Runbeck, and they print the ballots for the whole state. And they'll, what they've done since the Help America Vote Act, or excuse me, the Hack America Vote Act, they've privatized more. And Runbeck now just doesn't print the ballot. They mail the ballot out. And guess what, Ernie? They receive the ballot. And then they scan the signatures for the election department. They do send them over there in an envelope. But, you know, one of the hideous things about vote by mail and what happened because of the Help America Vote Act, a lot of people think that all that $4 billion was just for electronic voting machines. No, it certainly wasn't. A third of all that money was used to make statewide databases that interlock with other states. Let's say, Ernie, that you say to heck with it, and you and your family move to New York, and you register to vote. I wonder who might vote out here for you in the interim, because they have the data. In fact, the LA Times wrote a very revealing story, and it calls, the name of the story was, Does the GOP Know If You Like Anchovies? Meaning that with the databases and then merging with corporate databases, they can profile you. They know what magazines you're reading. They know what you like on your pizza.
So what does that have to do with the... Let me go ahead and finish
targeting.
My point. They have these ballots go in a lump sum, and then they take... And there was no security for taking those hundreds of thousands of ballots then to be counted. Well, how do you know which ones went where? How do they add another, you know, bucket? Do they just put a whole another pallet on the van and then they show up? You don't know. And when you got, like you say, you got these private companies, they make the ballots. And the first time that they were doing early balloting, they had unaccounted like 60, 90,000 ballots. I mean, they go, yeah, well, you know, whatever, doesn't matter. Okay. I mean, whoa, how are these? So I already knew there was something going on here. So I started checking. Well, this is what happens. When they scan them in, they bring them the ballots in, they need to barcode, you know, that, okay, this person has voted. So if you go on election day, they go, hey, man, you already cast a ballot. You don't get to vote again, all right? So I go, when you vote early, well, how do you even know that was the person? What was it? Well, the barcode that went mailed to them, and we checked the signatures. Okay. How do you do the signatures? Well, it goes in the computer, and it scans it, and it pops up their voter registration. It has their signature there. So we kind of give it a quick look. Yeah, it looks kind of sort of the same, and we send it on. I go, well, what if I kind of think that you're not really doing that? How would I determine that? I did a public information request, and I said, I want to know from this date to this date how many people were sitting there doing this. I want timesheets of people doing it. You know, how long does it take to do it? Okay, it was about to bring it up. You know, it was about, I don't know, 7 to 12 seconds. So we said, all right, 10 seconds, you know, per one. Okay, you multiply it times how many 100,000. They do the request. I go, you're not checking them. The math doesn't work out. You're just pretending like you are. Oh, so that starts to be a problem. So what you're telling me is they go, we need to outsource that. We don't want to do that anymore. We're going to have this private company They're going to go to the post office. They're going to pick up the ballots. Correct. They're going to scan them in. They're going to check it. They got the whole voter database. They're going to, and then they're going to get it all processed nice and pretty and everything. Then they're going to send it forward to the elections department for them to run through the computer the vote. And by the time they do that, I can already tell you what's going to happen. You haven't even told me this. I can already tell you what happens. Once they process and they tear off all the identifying material of that ballot, like who voted it and the barcode and the perforations and all that, and they send the actual ballots, there's your secret ballot. And once they put that in a pile to send them to go count it, doesn't matter if they're fraudulent or not, how do you take out the fraudulent ones without taking out the good ones? They're not going to disenfranchise these people that voted there. Once they get past that process, once they get delivered in that, it's over. Whatever they want is already done. And early balloting and mail-in balloting made up for what percentage of this election, do you know?
Oh, my God. I'd say probably close to 65% or more.
It is like in Oregon, yeah. That's the only way they do it. You know, you don't even have a voting day. You just do everything by mail. So we've known this being built up over the years. There's so many of these things, these shenanigans. There's so many levels of manipulation and fraud that it's got. And whenever you highlight it or you show it or you demonstrate it or you like doing, you know, time studies, what do? Well, we farmed that out. We have the company that printed them. I mean, and you're still voting. You see my point? I understand you make it out. Well, we got to go in. I'm like, you know, seriously, I'm it's so bad.
But Ernie, this is where I have to say this. When people don't vote, it makes the forensic examiners like me and Jimmy harder to go ahead and find the fraud. And that's where I hope that through what we do here, that I need your help. I need you to have you look closely what we're doing and stop encouraging people not to vote. Help us find the fraud by making it tougher
and
making the splits
different. But I'm not going to lie to people, and sure as heck not to myself.
You don't have to do that. All you got to do is to tell them to vote hard, vote at a precinct, don't vote by mail, and help people who are trying to keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive! Keep hope alive!
That's right. Yeah. I have to live in hope, Ernie.
Yeah, he is.
I've
a
lived
Democrat.
In hopelessness before. It's a terrible place to live.
Vote for... No, we don't put that on. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, John Brakey, and Robert Anderson. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Open up your mind and let me step inside. Rest your weary head and let your heart decide. It's so easy when you know the rules. It's so easy.
Play the game. Play the game. Yeah, that's all you gotta do. Just surrender. Let me come on inside. It's all good. You know, here on Declare Your Independence, me, Ernest Hancock, John Brakey, Robert Anderson, we're just, you know, we're looking at, what is it, Friday, and the election was Tuesday, and they still don't know. You know, I mean, a lot of computer voting. We'll get it really fast. Oh, I see some of the names. It's the first time I've looked at it. And I start looking at it, I'm going, yeah, Ben Quayle, son of Dan Quayle. He won his Republican race for Congress, which a lot of these, if the Republicans in, how many districts are there? Eight congressional districts. You have probably six of them are so gerrymandered Republican. Whoever wins the Republican primary, that's the guy. And then two of them are, you know, Democrats. That's just the way they do it. So, you know, we're looking at who are going to be the congressmen probably here. So Ben Quayle, yeah, here we go.
Well, you know, it's interesting you brought up about the gerrymandering is that really the election for the legislators really happened Tuesday. 27 out of 30 legislative districts are so badly gerrymandered. And, you know, the only way we're going to fix that is make a law and say that you cannot have more than five corners in a district.
Make a law!
Well, we got to do something to fix
it. Make a law! You know, they did this. They did all this districting stuff. I went through this
with 100 corners.
Yeah, they did. I've been through so many machinations of this crap. It don't make any difference. Well, you know, one thing. You know, I haven't looked at this. We got blah 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 blah. You know, one that there's a lot of names in here. People that lost. That, you know, is kind of surprising too. But so you look at and you just scratch the surface on some of these guys, and you just go, I know why that guy won. And, you know, what was it, what is the one that I'm, you know, I should check these out, because some of these guys, I almost ran for state legislator, because there was this one guy that was Homeland Security, and his name was Nick Davis. And Homeland Security guy, proud of it, had his arms and legs around Tom Ridge and George Bush and W, and I'm getting immigrant, and we're going to, you know, databasing and everything and terrorists. And it was amazing some of the stuff he was saying. Even they was voluntarily putting up on the YouTube. I'm going, wow, if I'm going to run against somebody. This dude, and I just, they almost bring, it's like Al Pacino in Godfather 3, I think it was. He goes, they bring me back in, you know. And I'm just going, no, I mean, and what did the guys do? They had, you saw in Freedom's Phoenix, they had this big sign that they did. It was 8x20, and they put it on the overpass. They went to these different functions, and they made a big deal out of it. And they're, what did they do? It says, today's electing, what, I don't even know what it says, selecting today's politicians for tomorrow's problems or something out there. And that just, oh, they didn't like that. Because what does it say? It's what the people, everybody do. Of course, they're honking and going, yeah, woohoo, because they get it. They know this is all just, oh, seriously? So now let's go ahead and let's take a look at this. Well, what were some of the races that you're paying attention to that you wanted?
Well, I'll tell you right now, quite a few. I'm very interested.
Did you get what you wanted? Did you get what you wanted?
No, everybody that I liked lost.
I'm so shocked.
Yeah. And I would say that John Doherty, I don't think he had much of a chance probably, but I just think he's a remarkable man for what he did with the Keating 5 case, taking down Symington, chasing Sheriff Joe Pyle around. And also, he was as instrumental as you were to helping me understand Maricopa's elections from that 2004 LD20 case and the investigation he'd done there. I tell you, another one that surprises me is Renz Jennings running for corporate commission and how he got beat. And the numbers just don't quite add up.
Yeah, Rich Davis lost. He got 39%. The winner got 48%. And so I'm like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, so, you know, whatever.
The bad thing is that we'll never really know, because we'll never really look at the ballots, because it's very hard to do that. And then also trying to find candidates who aren't afraid of looking like a sore loser. You know, that's one of the biggest,
you know, that was one of the things that was very interesting to me in the argument for not voting. You know, Mark Victor, a criminal defense attorney, we're partners in the Freedom Summit, freedomsummit.com. Make sure you go there. You know, the beginning of December, it's going to be a woo-hoo. What happens is we were sitting around having lunch or something with the two people from his office, and they were going, well, if you don't vote, you don't have a right to complain. And he goes, that's the only reason you get to complain, is if you don't vote. And he's there, what? And he goes, all right, I'll demonstrate. So he goes, I want your soup. He goes, we're going to take a vote. Yep, it's unanimous. Again, you know, we're going to take your soup, whatever. Then now what? What are you going to do? How do you vote? Well, they'll go, well, I would vote no. And he goes, well, you probably would avail yourself of your First Amendment right to try and convince us to, you know, all you need is one of us to get a tie or something. We wouldn't take your soup, or, you know, eminent domain, or tax your property, or do something you don't want. And the fact that you, if you would have won, you would have been happy. You would have said, yeah, the system worked. I won. Yay. You can't take my property. He goes, but if you were going to abide by the result if you won, well, why aren't you abiding by the result when you lose? You lost. Now you're just, you know, you're a sore loser. You're sour grapes. You're just, you know, well, he goes, well, if you don't vote, well, they're still going to take it. He goes, I know, but I'm not going to help them. I'm not going to validate the system. I'm not going to sit there and say, I'm voting in a process by which you're going to steal from me. Yay, voting is what? You know? So it's just theft. So I can understand the argument for, you know, if you're going to have a vote, well, of course you want it to be accurate. Of course you. I mean, just on its face, it being a lie, I don't know what the alternative is. The alternative is, like, you know, we had Maria Heller on last hour. She's going, well, I vote no government. I'm like, yay! You know, and they go, you are such an anarchist, Ernie. I go, compared to what? Compared to what? Well, you would have chaos would reign. Yeah? Compared to what? They're taking enormous amounts of our future and our children's future, and they're squandering it on death and destruction.
Absolutely.
And I'm supposed to feel what? I don't understand how we're going to, you know, make this better by advocating. I don't understand. So what do we? So I don't know what is the solution. I mean, you're gonna finally get. Let's say you prevail. Let's say you get in Arizona. We're the only state. We have an accurate vote count. Well, then I'm, you know, at the whim of the majority, and I got the corporate media I got to deal with now, you know. So I'm just, I just want to survive. It's coming down. I mean, the economy, we're done.
But thanks to the Libertarian Party, on the day before the election, we got into the election going through the machines. Jim came in with the binoculars. He traced the wires from the central tabulator and traced the wire all the way back to a laptop where a Sequoia employee was plugged into the central tabulator the day before. They've already had counted 250,000 vote by mails, okay? And the guy was on the internet. Of course, they saying that wasn't the case, and we didn't see the right thing, and it was a white wire, not a blue wire, and they're trying to make all sorts of lies, and they wouldn't let us bring a camera in to confirm and take a picture of this. But that is for us leaving that record behind and documenting it, and we're going to wind up using that court. And we couldn't have done it without being appointed by the Libertarian Party to do that. Because, you know, yes, I'm a Democrat.
Well, why do you
But
think-
I'll say that this right now, I look at the Democratic Party and the Republican Party on the very top as Coke and Pepsi. Not much of a difference. I am very, you know, election integrity in the Democratic Party in the last 2 years has been severely suppressed.
Well, let me tell
by
you,
Don Bivens.
I want the audience
and
to
Terry Goddard.
I want the audience to understand this. In the beginning, the Democrats were all over. Even the party even funded and supported your efforts.
Well,
in the
they
beginning,
they made me runner up for Democrat of the Year, and the only reason I wasn't Democrat of the Year that year is I was walking around saying, "Do you know why George Bush really stopped stem cell research? Do you know why?"
I don't know why.
Well, it's pretty simple. He was afraid the Democrats might get a hold of it, inject themselves, and grow a damn spine.
So this is the one thing that I want people to understand. The Democratic Party was in support of what you're doing until it started becoming obvious what was you're finding out.
Absolutely.
All of a sudden, they pulled their support.
There's corruption. Bad problems on both sides.
And the Libertarians were going, look, you know, not that we were thinking he was going to, you know, fix it or anything. We're chronicling this because it, you know, we know the truth. And you don't know the truth unless you're doing what John's doing. But if you think that even if you got it fixed, that's going to cure anything, we got a whole bunch of other problems behind that. So, and one of the races, I'll share this one. This is one that had some interest to me. Shauna Bullock is the wife of Clint Bullock from the Institute for Justice and works with the Goldwater Institute. And like, she ran in a five-way race, and she came in third. And she ran a hard race doing all this freedom. We're going to freedom! And Republican freedom, public, I don't even know who these other guys that beat her are, but she came in third. And I'm going, you know, why? Are the people, they don't want freedom from people that have the credentials for it, the backing? I mean, what was the problem?
Well, you know what some of the problems are, because, you know, I do school a lot of candidates who run. And I always tell them that when they run, you never talk about contracts of money. You can have the gay issue, the school issues, the tree hugging stuff, but never talk about when you get in. You're going to work on contracts of money because they'll definitely debolt you or sequoia you.
You know, there's something else that's really controlling this. And let me ask you this. Do you think for a moment that the central bankers, that the people that run the money, access to our revenue, access to the taxes, access to the public treasury, do you think for a moment they would risk that control? I know better. That's just, you know, I'm just sharing. That's just the way it is. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week and have, you know, maybe an update on this and a bunch of other stuff. And I wish you well. I want you to survive.